Welcome to Distrust and Disparities, Dismantling Black Health Disparities podcast. We examine health disparities that disproportionately affect Black women and Black families. In addition, we amplify organizations and individuals working to dismantle racist health practices and systems to improve health outcomes for marginalized communities. I'm your host, Jasmine Moore, a registered nurse, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Camille White.
When people have no sewage system, they often straight pipe the waste out of a home. When they flush their toilets, it ends up on the ground, goes into a pit, or into a ditch. In the United States, we still do not know how many people are using straight pipes. This can be catastrophic for your health.
In this episode, we discuss the sewage crisis in Lowndes County, a predominantly Black county in Alabama that has been dealing with wastewater issues for decades. And we highlight Catherine Coleman Flowers, an environmental and climate justice activist working to address the inadequate waste and water sanitation infrastructures in rural communities in the U.S.
Welcome back to another episode. We're excited to be back, and April is Earth Month. And as always, we want to make a point of discussing environmental justice issues here on the podcast. I feel like I always walk away like, you know, this whole podcast could be an environmental justice podcast because it's just crazy. And I always say, like, environmental justice issues are some of the most blatant forms of racism in this country. Like, just maps show the poor areas that are not invested, and also areas where, like, landfills and just the most pollutant areas, they're always around populations that have a large amount of Black people. And it's just very frustrating. And this stuff is known. And oftentimes, this is ignored for centuries and also just generations. And it causes a whole host of health issues and also results in decreased life expectancy. And just social issues, it can affect like how much you earn and things like that. We have major systemic environmental issues here in this country that we need to address now, because with climate change, these issues are only going to intensify. And if you're paying attention to the news, we're seeing more and more cities, mostly large urban cities, that are having all types of water issues, whether it's pipes, lead in the pipes. The pipes are getting old, and just the infrastructure in the U.S. is just, I think it has like a D rating. Like, if you go back and listen to our episode on the Flint, Michigan, we talk about just the infrastructure in the U.S. The pipes are declining. And in most places, they've been doing like patchwork here, but it's not holding up. Like, we're seeing like Jacksonville, Baltimore, all these major cities, you know, New York, it's just getting closer and closer, and it's just going to get worse. And, you know, you living in Baltimore, me here in New York and the Bronx, I feel like we're living it firsthand. You know, I'm trying to drink more water. And then sometimes if I think too deeply, I'm like, is this Brita filter, you know, adequate enough? Like, is this enough? Because, you know, buying, you know, bottled water, you know, I have some, but it's like, you know, I can't drink all of that. I need to filter this tap water.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where I always think about, like, especially now being an adult and paying for water. Yes. And on top of that, I'm paying for water that then I have to question, is it safe? Why the hell am I paying for water that I have to question? And even recently, Baltimore is looking into the lead pipes that they know are still around and literally asking residents to test what our pipes are made of and sending us this little mail kit of things like, you need to collect, you know, a magnet and a key. And do you have a camera, a smartphone with a camera and all these things? I'm like, what are you asking me to do? If you don't give me this water for free, because clearly it's raggedy, you don't even know what the pipes are made of. Y'all know that there are areas in the city. Like, there's so many things where you're just like, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. What are my taxes going to? What are the taxes of people before us? What did they go to that this wasn't, you know, something that was addressed decades ago? This isn't a problem, like you said, that just like popped up overnight. This has been going on for decades, for generations. And we're now feeling the brunt end of like a failing infrastructure that has been in decline for a very long time. And, you know, politicians, people in charge have known that it's been a problem for a very long time. And like nothing is really being done about it. And people are suffering because everyone has a right to water, to clean water. That is a human right.
Yes. And, you know, this is the perfect segue into our main topic and just our main discussion. Like, you know, access to clean water is a basic human right. Like, there should be no questions about it. In this week's episode, we will be discussing Lowndes County, Alabama, which has been plagued with basic sewage problems for decades. And just keep in the back of your mind, does everyone have the right to basic sanitation in their homes? Like in 2024, is this something that we should be discussing? But as we dive into this episode, you will see why and have the answer to those questions. And I want to give you like a little bit of history and also some backgrounds, information. Lowndes County lies between Selma and Montgomery, Alabama. And Lowndes County contains much of the route for the famous march from Selma to Montgomery in 1965 that helped galvanize support for the passage of the Voting Rights Act. So this area has a very rich history, Black history. So in this area, many residents are descendants of enslaved people who worked the plantations of the Black Belt region, and owning the land where their ancestors were enslaved and forced into hard labor is a source of pride for many of the residents and descendants. In the spring of 1965, African Americans made up approximately 80% of the population in Lowndes County, but there wasn't a single Black voter in the county. The county earned the nickname Bloody Lowndes after a series of violent clashes between the local white power establishment and Black and white civil rights protesters. Today, Lowndes County still remains predominantly Black, and unfortunately, you know, white landowners hold most of the area's prime real estate. Approximately 10,000 people live in Lowndes County, and about 7,000 are Black. And poverty is divided starkly along racial lines in this county. Black residents make up, like we said, about 80 to 75% of the population, yet their median income is only roughly maybe $24,000. This is significantly less than the white households, which bring in about $60,000. Like, that's the average median income for white households. And 33% of African Americans in this county, they live below the poverty line, compared to only 8% of white residents. As we dive into this episode, you will see how this area is shaping up to become an environmental justice battleground and just kind of setting the stage for some of these environmental justice issues that we talked about in the beginning.
Have you checked out our website? There you can find all of our episodes and show notes. You can even listen directly on the site and catch up on any previous episode you may have missed. You can read our bios and see what we're up to. Also, we made it even easier to contact us. Just fill out the form on our homepage and click submit. We invite you to recommend guests and topics we should feature. So what are you waiting for? Go check us out at distrustanddisparities.com.
So I'm going to talk about the soil. I'm going to do my best to kind of explain what's going on, but I'm not a geologist. Also, you know, this episode, you know, expanded my knowledge about, you know, plumbing systems and things like that. So y'all gonna learn some things. I'm gonna learn some things. But as always, you might have to pause it like I did. Maybe go look at a video to kind of break it down, but do what you have to do. But I'm gonna do my best to explain. Lowndes County is located in what is considered the Black Belt region. So the region was named after this dark, rich soil. And it was easy to grow cotton in this region over 200 years ago. So that's how we had thousands of enslaved Black people. They were brought to this area to work on massive plantations. You know, that was a big money-making industry. But today, that same soil doesn't allow water to easily penetrate the ground below. As a result, that dark, fertile soil has basically withered away to this chalky bedrock underneath. The soil is very dense and it has a clay, chalk-like appearance. So this basically means the soil is virtually non-absorbent. So nothing can be absorbed into this clay-like substance. So just imagine like some clay or some chalk. No water can really penetrate into it. And basically water in the Black Belt region, it tends to pool at the surface rather than filtering through to the deep underground beneath this bedrock. So this leads to a whole host of issues, but the main one that we're going to be talking about is how it affects waste disposal. This chalky soil, it significantly limits how residents can dispose of liquid waste. As a result, traditional septic tanks will not work in most of this area because these traditional tanks, they require the soil to be more permeable, more absorbent. So we need that soft soil that most of us, if you live in like cities or, you know, if you've seen like dirt, how soft it is, but it's not that type of soil. And I just want to explain how traditional septic tanks work. So traditional septic tanks take waste from our homes and it's piped into a buried tank where solid matter is retained, but liquid waste is released into an underground leach field where it is slowly broken down by microbes as it's filtered through the earth. This may sound a little bit confusing, so in the show notes, we did put a little video so that you can see it. But basically, you know, I lived in the city the most of my life, so I've really, you know, never really thought about this, but basically when you flush the toilet, it goes through pipes and then the material is filtered out and then it's filtered to the point where it's liquid waste. And this waste is eventually transported to what's called, like, they call it a leach field, but the ground, a certain type of ground, where once it's in the earth, it's supposed to, you know, be further broken down. And, you know, the materials can be used to like fertilize the soil or the ground. That's how it's supposed to work, ideally. You get what I'm saying, Camille? You hanging in there with me? Okay. All right. You know, I just
I'm learning
make
along
sure.
with you. Like, you know, we're both from Baltimore, have been in a city like all my life. And yeah, I've never had to deal with a septic tank. I don't, and didn't know like that was what was needed and would never think that like a septic tank required soil that, you know, was more absorbent. I didn't, I had no clue.
Yeah. And that's just like a basic breakdown of like, say, one septic tank for like a house. But as you have larger communities and different things, it can get more complex. But we just want y'all to have a basic understanding of septic tanks if you're, you know, not familiar like us, you know, so just so you can understand what's going on and what this, you know, sets up for. So like we stated before, the soil and lounge is very dense and it's non-absorbent. So water does not drain into the ground like it's supposed to. As a result, all over the county, septic systems are breaking down. Heavy rainfall seals up the soil until the waste has nowhere to go and it backs up into people's lawns and homes. So basically everything is clogged. So it forces it. It just comes up to the surface and it doesn't get absorbed. And climate change is making the problem even worse with heavier rainfalls and rising water tables. It's important to note that much of Lowndes County is too spread out for a central sewer lines to be cost effective. And the dense clay soil, it makes many septic systems inoperable. So you see the conditions that we have, like normal septic tanks aren't working, and then the soil is non-absorbent. And you may be thinking to yourself, what type of system is needed? So the state of Alabama, it recommends a mound system for people that cannot connect to a central waste management system. A mound system uses piled up dirt to filter waste. And, you know, it sounds simple, but these systems are expensive to install and also expensive to maintain. The cost of a new septic system can exceed 20 grand. And like we discussed earlier, many of the residents in this rural community don't even make that much or are barely making that much in a year. So imagine spending your whole paycheck on a septic system. It's not feasible. Additionally, in this region, because if the water table is so high and you have these intense rains, these mounds, they are frequently eroded and the tanks fail, sending sewage back into people's toilets, sinks, and bathtubs. So you're telling people to get these 20 grand systems and then they require like expensive maintenance, like over $500. And then they quickly like still back up and still, you know, flood people's homes and things like that. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture survey shows that more than 93% of the land in this county is very limited, basically saying like these septic tanks won't work that the state is recommending. And even if an engineer can design a special system to work for these conditions, it would cost up to $10,000 per household. And like we said, that's more than half the median annual income for the Lowndes residents. Unfortunately, most of the residents have either septic tanks that don't work or no treatment at all. And what I mean by no treatment at all, basically, there is a practice called straight piping, and this is a very hazardous practice. And straight piping is when a pipe is used to empty waste into the grass or lagoon directly outside the property. And I'll point out, like, some people, they live on, like, mobile homes and different things like that. But with the straight pipe, just imagine one, the pipe that connects to your toilet, it goes directly out to your backyard. So whatever you, all your waste and all that, that's just going to go right out. Like some people, they dig holes into the ground or, you know, they try to put it far off. But like we said, the soil does not absorb any of that. So when rain comes, all that waste, it basically comes up to the surface. And I was shocked to learn, we talked about this, like this is a very common practice in rural America. And, you know, to my surprise, it says research shows that at least 1 in 5 homes in the U.S. is not connected to a municipal sewer line. And I know that was, I was very shocked. And, you know, it could be, you know, we live in the city and things like that, so we don't really think about these things, but this is a very common issue. And we're just talking about one county in Alabama. And mind you, the Black Belt area is over 17 counties throughout Alabama that are having this issue. So it's a major problem.
That's insane. And just the whole, the fact that you have to resort to something like straight piping. And again, because of how the soil is, it still causes such a huge issue. And like, this has been something that's been known for a long time. This isn't like something new to people. And it's just so frustrating where it's just like, we're going to get into it, but like, what is Alabama doing? What are the officials of this state and this county? What are they doing to help their residents? Because like, this isn't brand new. This is something that they've known for a while. And like, you know that septic systems just like don't work in this scenario. They're way too expensive. And then like the heavy rain situation. And this is clearly too, where climate change is only going to make, you know, the natural things that we experience through nature even worse and more extreme. And
yes,
it's always putting poor people, people of color, Black people are the ones that are going to be hit first. They're going to be hit the hardest when it comes to the effects of these.
Absolutely. And like you said, with when it rains, the flood water, it carries sewage, this waste, across people's lawns. It backs up into people's living areas. Imagine it rains. Eventually, you'll see puddles and stuff. They'll disappear. But imagine puddles of raw sewage, you know, still remaining after it rains because the soil just does not absorb it. Also, imagine how it smells.
I could not imagine. I could, like these poor people, like, to have to live through this.
Just imagine, just all around your house, your living area. And it creates huge, like, health and environmental risks. So, you know, straight piping is a gateway to disease-causing pathogens. Just having that raw sewage, viruses, bacteria, parasites, they thrive in feces. And this impacts, you know, your health. It affects the water supply. It affects animals. It affects plant life. And the overall community is just affected on a large. And like you said, you jump right into it. What is the state doing? What is the state of Alabama doing? Because, you know, Alabama is pro-life. They care. They are pro-life, you know?
Yeah.
So you would think, you know, what are they doing? You know, they don't want people have abortions. So what are they doing to keep people healthy?
So they can bring a healthy life into this world and be supported and have fulfilling lives and thrive.
Right.
You know, they pro-life. That's what that's what pro-life means to me.
Right. Across your lifespan, right?
Yeah. From conception to death, and people reaching old age and have a high quality of life, and young children, you know, are we talking about free kindergarten? Are we talking about free food for children at schools? Because that's what pro-life means to me. But I mean, I think we all know that that's not really what it means, especially in a state like Alabama and what programs they actually have available for their residents.
Exactly. So the state of Alabama is basically like, that's your problem. Y'all deal with it. That's what they basically saying. So in counties where 80% of the Black Belt residents, you know, cannot connect to a central, you know, sewer line. They basically are telling them you have to invest in your own private waste management systems. And like we discussed, like those solutions often don't work. Also, these systems are expensive. Residents, they live very far and scattered from one another. So they can't, you know, group up. It's very hard to group up and connect to one central system. Also, they don't have a large tax base. Like I said, the median income is close to $24,000 a year. And the state is basically telling them they are responsible for their own waste management system. And like we said, if they can't afford it, they are resorting to straight piping. And the state, not only do they not do anything to help, they also fine people for not having a waste management system. So they even further criminalize being poor.
It's expensive to be poor, because how are you going to tell somebody, hey, you need to purchase this expensive solution. We're not going to even help you in getting it. And it's also expensive to maintain if you're even able to get it in the first place. Oh, you don't have that? Well, now we're going to fine you. You didn't have money for that thing, but now we're going to place fines on you and try to take money from you another way and then keep you in poverty. Because, you know, we're pro-life. We care about supporting you and living your best life. We're going to fine you for not having the money in the first place to afford something that we're forcing on you, even though we know it doesn't work.
Right. And like you said, we didn't even talk about, like, just the history of, you know, systemic disinvestment in specifically Black communities. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, they made not having a functioning septic system a criminal misdemeanor. So residents could be fined or even imprisoned for failure to have a working sewage treatment system in place. And residents can be fined as much as $500 per citation, evicted, or even arrested. Like, people are barely scraping by. So imagine adding fines on top of it. And one resident, he was quoted as saying, "It's not like we can help it. It's not the systems, it's the ground." So even if they have these systems, they're not working. Like, they're breaking down, or they have to be constantly replaced. And it's just frustrating. And, you know, all they want to do is just fine you. And with these fines, basically all they do is kind of silence the residents. They're very hush-hushed about this sewage issue because, one, they don't want to be fined. And also, there's a lot of shame around this issue. Nobody really wants to open up about, you know, raw sewage, basically stool, feces, like flooding your home, your living area, you know, frequently. This is not like, imagine like a one-off situation. This happens frequently, just outside your home, your backyard, you know? So a lot of times people don't want to discuss this, or like we said, this issue has been going on for decades and nothing is being done. Basically, the state is like, that's your problem. And even people that are connected to like a central sewage systems, those systems still back up and break. Or people have to pay the city up to $500 to basically come pump their backyards or, you know, pump out their septic systems like frequently. So it's just, like you said, it's expensive to be poor. And a quote from Catherine Flowers, she points out, "Being punitive, as we've seen, has not provided any solutions because it puts all the responsibility on a homeowner who is forced to buy something that, first of all, they can't afford, or second, that simply is not working and it doesn't make sense. It's a vicious cycle." It's crazy. And just for decades, the state of Alabama and county governments disinterest in the problem basically transferred the burden of care to activists and local leaders.
So as Jasmine mentioned, and like we said at the top of the episode, Catherine Flowers is who we're highlighting, but she is a community activist and she stepped in to advocate for the community and raised major attention to the sewage problem and helped mobilize the Lowndes County community. She is our featured individual for this week, and we'll talk about her more in depth at the end. But we also will be weaving in how her fight for justice is finally bringing change to the community. And this problem would have continued to get worse and go unaddressed if not for her and local residents coming together to demand something be done. And here is a quote from Catherine Flowers from the New York Times. And she argues that the sanitation disaster is a product of longstanding inequities. Quote, "A reason this problem has perpetrated for so long was because they blamed it on poor, ignorant Black people who don't know how to flush a toilet or take care of a septic system. Wealthier residents have an easier solution. They pay someone to fix their septic system. Health departments in the Black Belt issue permits for septic work in predominantly white counties at more than three times the rate as in predominantly Black counties. There have been intentional structures put in place undergirded by racism to keep the county poor. Not having access to decent housing creates a lot of other kinds of injustices. It creates healthcare disparities. It leads to not having a decent wage." And this is like also true. And like Jasmine was talking about, we could have, you know, this whole podcast could turn into an environmental racism justice podcast because like, this is public health. Not having these things, not having healthy environments to grow up in directly affects your health in such negative ways.
Exactly. And just imagine living in a state that's, you know, just looks the other way. And I know you were talking about your little system kit, you know, they sent out in Baltimore, but I'm like, you know, looking at this, it's better than nothing. They're trying to do something now. It's just like, but imagine a state is just like, nah, that's y'all, that's on y'all, figure it out, and then find you
when you can't figure it out because you're too poor to figure it out, as though you're the exact cause of why this is happening. Like, y'all know what it is, and y'all literally just don't care, and y'all don't care because they're Black people. So while working closely with the community, Catherine noticed that an alarming number of people were suffering from various ailments, including asthma, allergies, and heart disease. Catherine got in touch with Peter J. Hotez, the dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor College of Medicine, and she told him about the situation, and he began to suspect that residents had intestinal worms. So Peter is quoted as saying, "In places that think of themselves as rich, it's easy to ignore problems of poverty. It's the poor living among the wealthy that now account for most of the world's leprosy, tuberculosis, and the list goes on."
And it's just the contradiction of it all. Like, we want to go to other countries like, oh, you need to be doing this. Oh, you need to do this. And it's like, I get stuff like, oh, volunteer to be a mission here and go here. But we have people in our own country that we are ignoring and not doing anything and telling them to figure it out. But we can find resources to help others. It's just like, make it make sense. Like, it's not making sense at all.
No.
It's been going on for too long. Too long. And like we say every time, like, why are we just finding out about this? Why?
So eventually with this, Peter sent out an infectious disease group of researchers from Baylor, and they started collecting soil and waste samples in Lowndes County. In doing these tests and looking at the soil, they discovered that hookworms were in Lowndes County. So, you know, you could be wondering, like we were, what's a hookworm? Let's learn about a hookworm. In the years surrounding the Second World War, hookworms were documented all over Alabama, but it was thought to have been eradicated by the 1980s. In the 1920s, the State Health Department created a waste management division specifically to address widespread hookworm infections. And Catherine pointed out that the efforts were mainly focused on white communities, but none of us are shocked about that.
Nope.
Hookworms enter the body through the skin, often through the hands or the soles of bare feet, and makes its way to the small intestine where it feeds on blood. This can persist for several years, causing anemia, weight loss, fatigue, and impaired mental function, particularly in young people. And other worms were found in the region's soil can damage the lungs and also may encourage asthma. And multiple parasite infections in children can cause long-term consequences, including decreased growth rates and decreased cognitive abilities. So they looked at the soil and it's just like, of course, given the fact that there's a huge sewer waste management issue, these worms, these parasites are in the soil and unfortunately then entering the residents through, like it said, the hands and soles of like bare feet.
If you want to pause and look up what a hookworm is, go ahead. You can go ahead and, you know, be disgusted. But this is what's going on. This is a real issue. And this research study is what really shined a spotlight on Lowndes County and what's going on in this poor sanitation issue. And, you know, their research showed that about a third of the residents had hookworm. And this is just like the tip of the iceberg.
This was all released in the fall of 2017, these findings that more than a third of Lowndes residents had hookworm, and it received national and global attention. And everyone was, you know, shocked that this was happening in America. How could America have a hookworm problem? Not America. Not us, honey. We right. Just so great over here. And the study reached even the United Nations poverty team, which said conditions seen in Lowndes County were very uncommon in, you know, developed nations. And a UN reporter examining extreme poverty visited in 2017 and said that the sewer problem was unlike anything else he had encountered in the developed world. And quote, this is not a sight that one normally sees, because again, that's a thing of like, we're quick to other ourselves as though like, This is something that can't possibly happen in America, not this grand, great country. This is something that happens in other parts of the world, parts that, you know, empires have stolen from and continue to steal from, but, you know.
And that's why these countries are considered underdeveloped, because We took all the resources in this and then want to call ourselves, you know, first world developed. And it's like, are we really?
Are we? You know? No, we're thieves.
You know, and only certain people get taken care of. Clearly. Crazy.
And even with all of this attention, there was no meaningful intervention by the state or the federal government. But I thought we were so great.
And cared about people's lives.
So Peter, again, who was the director at Baylor, pointed out, quote, I was able to help mobilize hundreds of millions of dollars over the years from USAID to address neglected tropical diseases in Africa and in poor areas of Asia. But when you talk about neglected infections of the poor in America, the lights go out. And that's what it is. And it's insane. And it's so frustrating. And like you said, it contradicts so many things that America claims to be, when it's just like, y'all will happily give out money and grants for researchers to go and do everything else in all these other countries that we steal from. And a lot of the issues that people are suffering there are a direct result of something that like America or other countries like it have caused. But when we look internally and go, here's a huge problem with our own people, especially when, you know, the people aren't white, all of a sudden it's just like, oh, no, I don't know what y'all talking about. Or there's no money for it. There's no funding. No one cares.
Exactly. It's crazy. It's just like, fix it yourself. Like, no. Mm-mm. It's like, can we mind our business and focus on addressing the problems here? You know, we think going out, we're making everything else safer and this and that. But it's like, we're ignoring so many people. It's just like, y'all just don't care. Y'all just don't care. And whatever else y'all are doing is like, are y'all doing it for true intentions? Or is this just the underlying motive? Is it to get more money? You know, is this, you know, just colonization part two or something like that?
Mm-hmm. When the Baylor researchers released their findings, Alabama's Department of Health did nothing and also posted a misleading notice online denying that hookworm was present in Lowndes County. So it's just like, they did nothing. And then they were like, no, that's a lie. That there was no hookworm here. And the state's health officer, Scott Harris, noted that the Baylor study was based on just 67 people and that the researchers had used a newer, more sensitive test, which Harris said could prove false positives. And additionally, Scott decided to say that the state reviews had not shown that children in Lowndes County suffered gastrointestinal ailments at a significantly higher rate than those in the rest of the state. He acknowledged that the county, like others in the Black Belt, has, quote, a long history of problems with water. But then he went on to say, quote, the issue is not hookworm as much as it is continuing poverty that hasn't been addressed for generations. There are very clear examples of structural racism that have made it difficult to make progress, and our state is not invested in a consistent, sustained way of trying to fix those problems.
He basically said, we know is poverty, but we're not going to do anything about it. That's literally what he said. He said, our state is not invested in a consistent, sustained way to trying to fix these problems.
It's so frustrating because this is like the song and dance that governments and companies consistently do every time someone comes along and has clear evidence of something wrong happening and something that they've known about, and they come out and go like, well, actually it's not that bad, or like, oh, well, they only tested, you know, 67 people. And it's just like, I'm sorry, so what? You're literally saying those 67 people don't really count if you're trying to say as though the sample is too small. And I think any person showing up in your county that has hookworm, you should be looking into it. And you shouldn't be downgrading anything or going like, oh, but the children aren't suffering that much if you compare them to the rest of the children in the state. And you're just like, what? Y'all, all the children are suffering then. It just, the way in which they'll like distort things and just outright lie because they don't want to own up to the fact that like they're causing harm is just so terrible. Because this is the state's health department. They are literally responsible in charge of, you know, ensuring the health of all of its citizens.
Exactly. And you point out they have a legal obligation to focus on the health of its residents, and they're basically not doing their job. And they're not even, you know, some states, they'll be like, oh, you know, we have to confirm these results. We have to look into it. They're simply denying it and saying, oh, it's not a problem. And this has led to the community bringing legal action against the state. In September 2018, Earth Justice, a nonprofit that specializes in environmental law, filed a federal Civil Rights Act complaint against the Alabama Department of Public Health and the Lowndes County Health Department. And Catherine Flower, she's also been working closely with this organization. The complaint alleges that the agency's failure to improve wastewater treatment has had a disproportionate and adverse effect on the Black community. And Anna Sewell was a staff attorney with Earth Justice. She is quoted as saying, "It's the long-standing ignoring of the problem that led us to file the complaint. The primarily Black residents of Lowndes County continue to suffer the effects of the health department's failure." And I want to make note that the complaint was placed in 2018. So this was during Trump's presidency. And the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, reported that they responded to the complaint, but it just wasn't prioritized during this specific administration. And guess what other major global event further halted any progress? COVID-19. So the complaint was filed in 2018. Nothing is done. 2020 rolls around, and Lowndes County in Alabama was hit hard by the pandemic. In Alabama, Black people were about twice as likely as their white neighbors to die from COVID-19. Lowndes County specifically had the state's highest per capita death rate. And you may be thinking, oh, it's a rural community, they're spread out, but imagine what having raw sewage and feces in your yard, how that can affect your home. So somebody from the county was quoted saying, even though it's rural, it's not high density like a city. You have extreme poverty and multiple generations living in the same trailer. In this crowding, the virus can spread. And then if you add residents are also suffering from underlying health conditions, such as, you know, unchecked diabetes, high blood pressure, and breathing problems, this makes it more vulnerable to the virus. And I also read an article, these rural counties, they're not close to the main hospitals. Probably the primary hospital is in Montgomery, Alabama. And also I read one article, counties like Lowndes County, they only have one doctor to cover, say, 8,000 residents. And imagine, you know, you might not be able to afford to go see the doctor. States like Alabama, they literally refuse to take federal funding to expand Medicaid for its poor residents. That's how bad it is.
They're pro-life. They're pro-life.
Right. I just had to bring that up there. They refuse to take funding to expand, you know, Medicaid access so that everybody can have access to proper health care. Crazy.
They just hate these people. Literally just hate these people.
Like, girl, right.
They just hate these people. They're just like, why don't you die already? Die in your feces. Like, literally is what they want.
Jeez. Basically, there's no other way to say it. How?
It's insane. It's absolutely insane and so frustrating that, like, this is just allowed to go on and, you know.
In 2021, the Department of Justice launched an investigation into waste management and infectious disease programs managed by the state of Alabama and their Department of Public Health, and as well as Lowndes County. So basically in 2021, when President Biden took office, that's when they officially started to look into this case. So imagine just it continued to be ignored until President Biden took over. And, you know, he had initiatives that, you know, were focusing on specifically environmental justice. And In 2021, the DOJ, their officials, they found that over the last several years, the state and county health departments had received millions of dollars in federal funding to reconfigure and improve their waste treatment systems with little to show for it. So basically, they received money, some funding to help fix this problem, but the state did absolutely nothing with this funding. A quote from Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark, she said, state and local health officials are obligated under federal civil rights law to protect the health and safety of all their residents. Sanitation is a basic human need, and no one in the United States should be exposed to risk of illness and other serious harm because of inadequate access to safe and effective sewage management. Additionally, federal prosecutors in the department's Civil Rights Division set out to explore whether Alabama officials discriminated specifically against Black residents in a manner that led them to experience adverse, you know, effects. So, you know, they already established, you know, that the state health department should have been taking action to address this. And also pointed out that they received the funding to, you know, do something about it, but they didn't. They didn't do anything, like we pointed out. And after an 18-month investigation was conducted, there was a federal ruling in May of 2023. So they found that the department's enforcement of sanitation laws, basically when they're fining people and threatening to, you know, take people's property for sanitation conditions that they did not have the capacity to alleviate, was basically illegal. And also the investigation found a consistent pattern of inaction and neglect concerning the health risk associated with raw sewage that permeated the soil and lingered near numerous homes. So basically, the federal government is like, y'all didn't do your job. Like, basically, y'all did nothing. And it says y'all failed to take meaningful actions to remedy these solutions. And basically, y'all put a disproportionate burden on the residents, and they were negatively impacted. And this was a landmark decision, specifically because it did come from the Civil Rights Department. And, you know, they ruled that, you know, this is an environmental justice issue. And Alabama became the first state to basically take responsibility for providing residents in Louds County and the Black Belt area with adequate sewage treatment, whether they can afford it or not. And this is the first time any state public health agency has been tasked with solving sewage issues in impoverished rural areas. When this ruling came out, they said that the state has 6 months to basically conduct a door-to-door survey assessing the sewage needs in Lowes County, and another 6 months after that to form a plan to bring some kind of working sewage system to the entire county. And I love how they put, you know, specific time marks, and they're like, if y'all don't do this, then we're going to reopen the case, and we're going to, you know, we're going to further investigate. So we're going to stay on you. And fixing this problem, it will take millions of dollars to address. And like we said, this is a poor rural area. Like, where is this money going to come? And I do have like an update. I was like looking for like an update. And it says in 2024, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency announced funding will go to the Black Belt region in Lowes County to help with the wastewater infrastructure. So it's just showing that, you know, Biden's administration is, they have this campaign called Closing the Water Access Gap. And this is going towards, you know, creating or upgrading sewer drainage systems, drainage and septic systems in like about 150 rural communities in the U.S., and mostly a lot of them are concentrated in Alabama and Mississippi. So this is good news, but, you know, we will still follow this case closely because, you know, state and local officials, they have a pattern of not doing anything. So they can still receive funding and not do anything. But, you know, I hope they do. I hope people like Catherine Flowers, they stay on them to do something. Hopefully they work with and partner with Catherine Flowers. We've been saying her name throughout this episode. And we're coming to the end, but we do, like, each and every episode, we want to dedicate time to people who are actually working to dismantle these racist practices. And like I said, she's been very instrumental in bringing attention to the sewage problems, not only in Lowndes County, but across America. Like, Lowndes County is just one example, but plenty of communities are affected.
If you are enjoying this episode, you should consider buying us a coffee. Yes, a coffee. That small gesture will help us continue to create quality episodes and content. Click the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes or check out our website at distrustanddisparities.com. Like Jasmine said, we want to highlight Catherine Flowers and the amazing work that she's done specifically in Lowndes County. And it makes sense because Catherine grew up there. Her family was very active in the civil rights movement. And in 2000, with her father in poor health, she decided to move back home. When she moved back home, that is when she realized the full extent of the county sewage problem. So a distant cousin of Catherine was leading the Lowndes County Commission, and he brought her in as an advisor, hoping that she could figure out solutions to help with economic development in the county. But to Catherine's surprise, you know, raw sewage was the biggest pressing issue, and you can't really help stimulate and develop the economy when, like, there's raw sewage everywhere. There's an infrastructure of waste management that needs to be addressed. And the big problem, too, of how the government was handling it, of arresting people and fining people. And like we said earlier in the episode, people were being criminalized for being poor. That's not going to help anything. So in 2004, Catherine founded the Alabama Center for Rural Enterprise, ACRE, a nonprofit focused on poverty, and started finding people to teach her the basics of soil chemistry and septic tank design. Because here's someone that is from this community, I don't know, has a moral compass to be like, okay, let's really look at what the problem is. And she's like, let me go and find experts in soil chemistry and septic tanks. Because that's what you do when you care, when you really want to fix the problem. So with a grant from the EPA, she launched a countywide survey and went door to door asking residents if they were having trouble with waste management, which, of course, we all know the answer is yes. In 2008, Catherine also began working with the Equal Justice Initiative, a Montgomery-based organization led by the attorney and activist Brian Stevenson. So in Lowndes County, she intervened on behalf of residents who found themselves in court for sewage violations, and she even helped pay for septic tank upgrades, and she persuaded donors to cover hotel rooms and storage spaces for people displaced from their homes. In Washington and in Montgomery, she advocated for more effective policies and greater awareness of the problem. And it's just like, here you go, a resident returning home, and like, she's getting shit done. She is, she's paying for stuff. She's like helping people out. And like, this is what it shows where like people care. And this is a Black woman doing things for her community and helping people. This is why it's so important for us to be in spaces so we can really help our community members. Because like, who cares about our community more than us? No one.
Exactly. And also going door to door to ask residents what's going on. Are they having issues? You have to be from that community, or, you know, look like people from that community for them to trust you to open up about what's going on. Because like we said, people were being fined, so they didn't really want to talk about this situation. So just getting them to trust you, so and they know that you have their best interests and that you're advocating for them. You're bringing in people, donors to get funding, bringing in researchers that are actually wanting to do things. Like, this is amazing. So that's why we always want to highlight people that are on the ground, like literally tackling this issue.
Catherine pointed out that the neglect of the sanitation problem in Lowndes County is as obvious an environmental injustice like Flint, Michigan. And she brought researchers and politicians out to the area to talk to residents and bring more attention to the problem. And she helped get funding for multiple projects within Lowndes County. And she also spearheaded a collaboration with tropical disease researchers focused on intestinal parasitic infections spread by way of insufficient water treatment and waste sanitation. And Catherine's testimony to the U.S. Congress led to the introduction of legislation in 2019 to address neglected diseases of poverty in the U.S. Also in 2021, her leadership of the Center for Rural Enterprise and Environmental Justice and her fervor in fighting for solutions to these issues led her to one of the most notable appointments yet, vice chair of the Biden administration's inaugural White House Environmental Justice Advisory Council. So here's Catherine, you know, she returned home to be with, you know, her father whose health was declining and like saw this issue and like tackled it head on and is continuing to do so much great work for not only Lowndes County, because like we've said, like this isn't just an isolated issue here. It's in the Black Belt region. It's in other areas and rural areas in the country where like people are overlooked. They're overlooked because they're poor. They're overlooked because they're Black. They're just ignored. And here's Catherine doing all that she can and more to make sure that they're no longer being ignored and that, you know, she's fighting for them and fighting for them to have like just basic sanitation, a human right. Just
exactly.
Catherine also came out with a book in November 2020 titled Waste, One Woman's Fight Against America's Dirty Secret. And she was awarded a MacArthur Fellowship, which is commonly referred to as the, quote, genius grant, also in 2020.
Amazing. Like, she's doing amazing things. And this is just a fraction of what she is doing. Like I said, she is actually on the ground. She's testing the soil. She's learning about the soil, and she's also trying to invest in new solutions. Because like we said before, these same septic tanks, they're not working, they're costly. And, you know, she's trying to come up with innovative solution. And she wants to use some of the money that she's going to receive over 5 years to investigate alternative waste management solutions. So most recently, she is partnering with environmental engineers at Columbia University, and they are working on a new kind of toilet that will act as a mini sewage treatment facility. So instead of flushing waste, the system they're working to build will filter, clean, and recycle waste in this toilet system. And instead of sending raw sewage directly into the soil, it will be able to turn that fluid into water that can be used in washing machines and also into nutrients for fertilizer and perhaps energy for homes. So basically being able to take, you know, this raw sewage and basically repurpose it, treat it immediately, and then just be able to use it for things that various rural communities need. And Catherine, she is always pointing out, like, yes, I'm, you know, working in Lowndes County, but, you know, hopefully these solutions, they're probably going to be needed in other parts of, you know, America. And you may be thinking to yourself, oh, this is, you know, happening in rural communities. But like we pointed out in the beginning, like the infrastructure as a whole in America, it has a D+ by the American Society of Civil Engineers, and it's getting older and older. And like we said, most states are probably doing, you know, cheap patchwork jobs, but the infrastructure, the water infrastructure across the country needs to be replaced, and it's expensive. And I'll point out, like 30 minutes outside of NYC in Westchester County, the city of Mount Vernon, they've been plagued by a sewage problem. Basically, they have century-old clay pipes that are crumbling, and raw sewage is backing up into people's yards. So this is like 30 minutes outside of New York City with no traffic, I'll point out. And the residents of this community are predominantly Black. And they constantly question, would this be happening in other wealthier white communities that are just minutes away? It's just crazy that they allow this problem to go on. And if you do digging, you'll see that, you know, they're specifically neglecting these communities. So with the Alabama case winning their civil suit, hopefully more health departments will start to do things, or, you know, the city will invest in infrastructure. Or, you know, if you live in a community, look at what your local environmental justice groups are doing, see how you can partner with them, and demand that your city do something about it. Or, you know, let's sue the city, because I bet you're paying high water bills, paying high, you know, gas bills, and they not doing anything. So we really need to look into this and have it addressed. Like, a lot of us, you know, look at what we're paying money for, and we're not getting the results that we need. So, you know, environmental justice, it has many manifestations, and it's just baked into the nation's like social and economic order. But we can do something about it. And, you know, Catherine Flowers is a perfect example of one woman, you know, spearheading an initiative, you know, to help her community, and it'll have long-lasting impact on other communities.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Do you have recommendations for topics we should discuss about health disparities or injustices? Guests we should interview doing amazing health justice work? Or organizations we should highlight creating positive change for marginalized communities? Please visit us at distrustanddisparities.com or email us at distrustanddisparities@gmail.com. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn.